Homestyle Aged Care, fifth quarter.
Fifth quarter, thanks to Homestyle Aged Care at the MCG, the next best thing to being at home. The Brisbane Lions premiers for 2025, too good for the Cats, especially from time on in the third quarter. 11-9-75 Geelong, 18-14-122, the Brisbane Lions. Jason Doherty has made himself down into the vanquished Geelong rooms. Jace, can you just give us a sense of the disappointment down in there from the bowels of the MCG?
Look, it's pretty quiet down here. The boys have moved into the small room at the back with the coaching staff and Chris Scott to have a bit of a debrief. People just mulling around. It's nice to think that we're not the only media outlet here, so that's nice. We've got some friends, but we'll just wait to see. We're not quite sure what's happening down here in terms of interview style, but the media department will let us know shortly.
Okay, thank you for that. For 40 Winks, find the perfect bed for your body. Benny, the KFCX has obviously got busy. It seems to always get busier after the Cats have...
I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of sense made, Kingy, on the KFC Twitter, but we can have a quick look at what the Cat fans do think about today, which went south after half-time. Andrew Daly suggesting that it was a shame we didn't have our own Danny Noonan to come in for Jezza. We had a great year, just looked like we didn't want it as much. We'll be back better next year. To all in the Carrot Box, thank you for the year and reading my attempts at humour. Bring on 2026. So Andrew joins us each and every week.
Just on that Danny Noonan reference is from Caddyshack, yeah, where Rodney Dangerfield's character Al Shervik isn't playing well. Ball ricochets onto his arm and he quickly goes, "My arm's broken." And then he asks Danny Noonan, who's got some talent, to actually fill his spot despite being the caddy for the rival.
Yes.
And then, of course, Noonan.
Noonan. So someone suggesting it has to be Dangerfield's last game. He was best on ground play, one of the all-time greats last week. He didn't play well today, but that's footy, unfortunately. But, look, he'll be back next year, Danger. Brooke Richardson joins us each week saying, "Great year, but today we were beaten by a better team. Neil needs to work on trying to bring the ball to ground and compete, not putting his hands up and then leaving them on your knees. It only goes so far." Clay suggesting, "Beaten by the better side, still proud of the boys. Great season. Reload for next year. We ain't going anywhere."
No.
Frank Prodder, "They were good and did it the hard way. Congratulations to the Brisbane Lions." Medicus is disappointed but not surprised. "The Lions are an unbelievable team and about to get even better in the trade period. Go figure. Thanks, Geelong Cats and K-Rock Football, for another great year." Fowat suggesting, "What about Bruce Dool?" So Bruce Dool was the last Bruce to, in terms of winning a premiership.
Bruce Dool, actually, that's a good point. Bruce Dool would have been 1982.
Yes, we do like that one.
Yep.
So, Kingy, look, Cat fans are reasonably moderate with their... pretty much congratulating the Brisbane Lions, beaten by a better side, but suggesting the Cats had a great year. They did, and unfortunately they faltered today at the last hurdle, which was a little bit unexpected, I would have suggested.
10 original tenders for just $10. KFC, FLG, pick up only. Mark Neil, during the expert's chair this afternoon. Through your lens, what did you make of this afternoon and the win by the Lions? But just the way they completely dominated the contest from about 22 minutes into that third quarter.
Yeah, well, Kingy, as you suggested, or as you stated, going into time on in the third quarter, it was a one-point ball game. No one in the stadium, including anyone to do with the Brisbane Lions, could have said, well, over the next 40 minutes, we will continue to dominate and end up winning by 47. They were in front by well over 10 goals at one stage. It was just an absolute domination for the last 40 minutes of the most important game of the year. They showed everything they had, rebound from the back 50 using the centre corridor. The boys for Brisbane around the centre bounce in particular completely dominated. Clearances were even at that point in the game, but they finished up almost winning the clearances by 20, I think, in the end. And their goal kickers just dominated with the ball coming in so quickly. It was a comprehensive last 40 minutes of a grand final, and we would have thought, like most people, that it was Brisbane that had to claw everything and just stay in striking distance from Geelong and not be blown out of the water, but it turned out the complete reverse.
It's interesting too that the Cats just kicked the 75 points. I think they topped 100 in each of their last 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, so Brisbane, we'll talk all about their offensive brilliance, but their defensive work to keep Geelong to that. And I think as much as the Geelong hierarchy and all the coaching group, they certainly will. I'm just watching here as Rayner and Zorko, you'd reckon they'll go a little bit sideways, Ben. They've got the Gatorade thing and they're trying to chase Fagan.
Well, Chris Fagan, he doesn't realise this is about to unfold. And he's getting very close to the race. So Rayner and Zorko are off. They've got the Gatorade bucket. The coach is unaware what's about to happen.
He's
looked around. Now they've come up behind. Watch out. He's gone.
NFL style.
They got him. He's been Gatorated. So he'll have a little bit of sticky stuff in the old Murray Ranch after that, Kingy. And he'll have to have a shower because it's real. That stuff's really sticky, Mark.
That is particularly
that Gatorade
sticky stuff.
And
if you had to guess who the two Brisbane players who were going to do it, you probably would have gone Zorko and Rayner.
Yeah, if you saw the two of them sneaking off away from the party on just the two of them, you'd be thinking something's about to happen that you don't really want to happen. But I think Chris, he'll be relatively tolerant of that, given that they've just won back-to-back flags. Look, Ben, you're right. Like, Geelong have been dominant. They got it first team into the grand final. They'll review the last 40 minutes clearly as a coaching group. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to improve.
Homestyle aged care, the next best thing to being at home. Fifth quarter. Stats, Benny, please. Just some key numbers from the day.
Well, we ran through all the Brisbane stats, Kingy, so we'll just have a quick pot shot for the Cats. They ended up being down 15 in inside 50, 66 to 51. A lot of that damage was done, obviously, after half time. The Lions ended up, they were plus 8 in contested possession. The Lions were plus 25 in tackles, 76 to 71. They were plus 23 in marks. Uncontested possession, they were plus 27. And the big one that Neildy spoke about, the scores from stoppages was 11-7-73 to 4-5-29. They kicked 4 goals from centre bounces. They kicked 7 goals from throw-ins. Did the Lions, which really hurts you. They're stop plays, I suppose, where if you've got your set up around the ball, it perhaps shouldn't work like that, but they were able to score heavily from those clearances, and they ended up having, they were plus 15 in clearances. So it was a whitewash in the end on the stat sheet, which was reflected on the scoreboard. That wasn't the case until, sort of 10 minutes into the third quarter. Individually, Max Holmes had 33 possessions. He unfortunately didn't have his kicking boots on today. He wasted some of them. A lot of mungs. Anyway, you couldn't question your effort. If you're getting it 33 times, you're doing something right. He just didn't quite make the most of those touches. Bailey Smith's another one. He tried hard. He didn't have a great impact on the game, though. He had 29 touches. 18 of those were effective. But Lawson Humphreys played quite well for the Cats. I know he'd had a sort of an interesting second half of the year, maybe finding a second season at senior level a bit of a grind. But I thought he played well, 23 touches. Tom Atkins didn't have his best day, 20 touches, had 6 tackles. He did have 10 clearances, Tom Atkins, but nothing that really set up play further down the field. Ollie Dempsey played pretty well. He's kicked 4 goals from 19 touches, took his season tally. Ollie Dempsey, he kicked 35 goals for the year. That's good going from a young player. Just moving further down the line there, Myers didn't have his greatest game. He only had 11 effective disposals. He didn't have a clearance. He only had 4 inside 50s. He didn't hit the scoreboard. Manor was another one not to find the form that he's shown across the last few weeks. He only had 12 effective, kicked a goal. Jack Bowes, 11. Jai Clark was actually one that probably faded a little bit, but I thought he was okay playing an unfamiliar role. Across halfback had 14. Mark O'Connor actually think played quite well against Rayner. Yep. Rayner only kicked the 1 goal. O'Connor had 13 touches. And I thought Connor O'Sullivan played pretty well for a young fella. He did make one mistake, which cost a goal, but it was neither here nor there in terms of the result. But some of his work for a second-year player was absolutely fantastic. The other ones there that you could sort of pinpoint who struggled close, just the 8 kicks. Tyson Stengel didn't kick a goal. Didn't have a huge impact. Mark Blitzarves didn't have the same impact that he's had. He only had 6 kicks. And the other one, obviously, we've spoken about Dangerfield and Cameron. We probably needed them to play well. Between them, they didn't kick a goal. Dangerfield had 4 kicks. Jeremy Cameron got injured, obviously, only have 6. He was seriously hampered with that arm injury. You wouldn't be surprised if there was a break there or something. He seemed to be in a lot of pain. But those two players were absolutely ineffective in terms of impacting this game, unfortunately.
And we got a pitch invader. Nioti or Streaker. Somebody's been crash tackled to the ground out there on the ground.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's created a crowd.
Yeah, there's
police running in there.
Yeah, significant number. Security and police. Gentleman.
Yeah, look,
he's probably regretting his decision right now.
He's probably refreshed a little bit, can you?
To get himself out there on the ground. Thanks for that, Benny, for all those stats for Kerr's High, your local high company.
They've got him.
Since 1982. And that's the end of his Saturday.
He's a bit windy, I think.
Yeah, he's trying to shrug off the police. That's probably not a smart move.
No, I don't think he's trying to shrug him off. I think he's just a little bit unsteady on the old.
Is he Brahms and
Liszt?
Is he Brahms and Liszt?
He's absolutely Brahms and Liszt, King. And he's being escorted away for further questioning.
This will be the last game of footy he sees for a while at this level.
Yes.
That might be, done for good.
We might be a Cat fan, so he doesn't care.
Oh, wow. The votes are in from the Norm Smith. So we know that Will Ashcroft won it. He polled 13, Andrew 6, Bailey 5, Fletcher 3, Zorko 2, McCluggage 1. Andrew McLeod went Ashcroft, Bailey, Andrews. Hodge went Fletcher, Ashcroft, McCluggage. Kate McCarthy from Triple M went Harris, Andrews, Will Ashcroft, Zach Bailey. Jack Revolt went Will Ashcroft, Andrews and Bailey. And Adam Simpson working for SEN, Ashcroft, Zorko and Bailey. So that if it had been, what did he kick in the end? 3 goals, 6, Zach Bailey.
He did, Kingy.
If he had a kick 6-3, he might have been wearing Norm around his neck, but that's not how it worked out for him.
Homestyle Aged Care, fifth quarter.